Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films The Souvenir, Wild Rose, and Rolling Thunder Review, a Bob Dylan story. We are ready. Hi, David. How are you?
Okay, Joe. How are you doing this week?
I am fine. Would you like to rate these with a numeric recommendation? Two stars?
I don't really believe in that system, although I have participated in it, you know, rating things with letter grades or with stars, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or...
Because
you can't reduce something as complicated as a feature film to just a number or a letter. It has to have a bit of discussion, at least. So I tend to avoid
simplification.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Simplification.
Yeah, exactly. I know it comes in handy as a kind of a consumer guide for people. But hey, what I say is you got to listen to me if you want to know what I think. And if you don't want to know what I think, then you wouldn't care about what number I would assign to something. So anyway, on with the show. Yeah, three movies this week, and two of them have a lot to do with music. But about those in a moment. Let's begin with The Souvenir, which is a movie written and directed by a British filmmaker named Joanna Hogue. And she has made a few movies before now, and she's a very good filmmaker. She has a very passionate following. It's a small following. She doesn't make blockbusters. She makes very sort of delicate little art films. I've never found her movies all that memorable, but I think that her latest one, The Souvenir, is probably the most interesting that she's done so far, and so I think that she's probably on an upward trajectory in terms of the quality and perhaps the recognition accorded to her work. The Souvenir is the story of a young filmmaker who is making a film and going to film school and trying to become a serious film artist in her way. And she meets a young man who works for the Foreign Service. This all takes place in England, or at least he says he works for the Foreign Service. There's very little evidence of this within the film itself. But he kind of needs some help from her, and he kind of moves in with her, and before long they become a couple. And then after a while, and this is the only sort of plot point that I'll really give away here, and it's fairly early in the film, but she discovers that he is a drug addict. And it's not one of these things where, you know, he is found wandering in the countryside in the middle of the night or anything like that. He seems to be able to function despite his addiction, but it is obviously taking a genuine toll on him, and pretty soon it starts taking a toll on her. And so we have the kind of parallel stories of these two who are, again, now a couple, but as he is dealing with his addiction and as she is trying to get her movie together and get her student activities together, and the two of them, they kind of break up and then they come together again, and that sort of thing happens over the course of the film. So that, as I'm probably getting across here, this is a very understated kind of a movie, a very oblique kind of a movie, and although the movie has gotten a lot of praise from quite a number of critics, there are those who have criticized it for being too oblique and not really giving enough of what's going on inside the young woman, for example, and I think that's a valid criticism, although I think this is a very deliberate part of Joanna Hogue's strategy in the film, is to kind of suggest things without kind of putting them under our noses or in our faces. We also have some secondary characters, most prominently perhaps the young woman's mother, who she sees just from time to time during the film, but who becomes a fairly important character. The casting of this movie is kind of interesting, especially, obviously, the main character is a very important figure, and she is played, interestingly, by an actress named Honor Swinton Byrne. And as her middle name might suggest, she is in fact the daughter of Tilda Swinton, who plays her mother within the film. Again, Honor Swinton-Byrne is the main character, and she is in practically every shot of the movie. Her mother only shows up from time to time. Tilda Swinton is, to my mind, one of the greatest actors of our time. And her daughter is not nearly so good an actress. She's actually very new, just sort of starting out. But she gives an interesting performance here. And the two of them are really the most interesting thing to watch about the movie. Also, Tom Burke gives an interesting, although not very compelling, performance as the young man. Although, again, that lack of compellingness is perhaps one of the movie's strategies. So The Souvenir is a very delicate, understated, kind of oblique art film. For people who want to see something that's very different from what's going on in mainstream cinema today, I recommend it. But by and large, I found it an interesting movie that shows Joanna Hogg as an improving filmmaker, but it's not quite the film that really puts her on the map for me as a major filmmaker. Second movie today, Wild Rose, also very much centers on a woman. This is a movie, it's another British film, directed by Tom Harper, but written by a woman, Nicole Taylor. And it stars Jessie Buckley as a young Scotswoman who is an aspiring country singer. And this is an unusual aspiration, as she herself realizes, and she knows that this is going to be a very uphill battle. She says at one point early in the film, "Who ever heard of a country singer from Glasgow?" But there she is, and she really wants to be a country singer, and she really works very hard at that. And her big dream is to get to Nashville in the United States and to somehow enter the circuit and become a very big deal country singer. And one of the people who is aware of what a very difficult road to hoe this is going to be for her is her mother, who's an important character in the film, played by the wonderful Julie Walters. I always associate Julie Walters more with comedy than with drama, but she gives a very good dramatic performance in this movie, although this is not a melodramatic film. It's a very light film, but it is in fact a drama. And the two main characters, Jessie Buckley and Julie Walters, give wonderful performances. So anyway, the movie is mainly about the young woman, Rosalind, played by Jessie Buckley, trying very hard to become a country singer. And there is a very big extra hurdle. One big hurdle is the fact that she comes from Scotland and has no idea how she's ever going to get the money to go to the United States of America and go to Nashville and become a country music star. The other big obstacle facing her is that she has just recently been in prison. She was involved in a transgression of the law. It involved drugs, although she herself is not really a drug person at all, but it involved drugs, and she was in jail, and now she's out. But this is a very big deal for her. Are the authorities going to let her travel? Are they even going to let her take off her ankle bracelet by which they monitor her whereabouts? Are they ever going to let her do the things that she needs to do in order to try to realize this dream of hers? And that is what the movie is about. Jessie Buckley is a very fine actress. So right now I'm watching Chernobyl, the very good HBO miniseries, and she is a very major character in that, a very different kind of character. She's a really good actress, and she is wonderful in Wild Rose. By the way, the character's name, the main character, is Rose, actually Rosalind, and that is where the title comes from. And she is, to some extent, a wild young woman, but in other respects, she's a very disciplined young woman. She spends the movie really, really working at realizing this dream of hers of somehow getting to America, somehow getting to Nashville, somehow becoming the big country music star that she really wants to be. So I would say that the main pleasure of this movie is watching Jessie Buckley and also watching Julie Walters and watching the very good supporting cast. And it's also just following this story. It's a very, very energetic story. It's a lot of fun, and it has some terrific music in it, a whole lot of music. One of the things that Rosalind insists on more than once in the movie is that she is not a country and western singer. She is a country singer, and she sings a whole lot of that kind of music over the course of the film, and that's another pleasure of the movie. It is not a musical. There's not that much music in it, but it is very much a music-oriented film, and again, it's just a lot of fun with a lot of energy and a wonderful performance by Jessie Buckley. So I had a good time watching it. Not a major film, but a very enjoyable film. And our final movie for today is the only one that does not center on a woman. It is, however, another music film like Wild Rose, but a very different kind of music film because it is a documentary. And it is a documentary by the person who I've regarded for many years now as the greatest living American filmmaker, and that is Martin Scorsese. And it is very much about Bob Dylan, hence the title and subtitle, Rolling Thunder Review, A Bob Dylan Story. Back in the 1970s, Bob Dylan put together a concert tour called the Rolling Thunder Review. And one of the things that the movie explores kind of amusingly is where that name came from, the name of the tour, Rolling Thunder Review. And there are different theories, and it is never really settled by the movie. One theory is that it was named after an Indian who Native American who had that name. Another theory is that it came from the Vietnam War, where that was the code name given to Nixon's secret bombing of Cambodia. That's, of course, probably not where the name came from. That would be a very negative connotation. And there are other theories as well. But in any case, the tour was called the Rolling Thunder Review. And an unusual thing about that tour was that Bob Dylan was, in the 70s, by that time, a gigantic superstar on the international stage, and he could play arenas and he could play all kinds of places, whatever he wanted to do. And yet on this tour, which by the way was a sort of a comeback tour for him because he had stopped touring for several years before this, on this tour what he decided was they were going to play small venues. They were going to play small theaters and just small places, intimate places, you know, not living rooms, but not arenas, small theaters, small places. And boy, you see a lot of those places over the course of Scorsese's movie. And some of them are really just really sort of crummy, low-rent little dives. But this is what he wanted to do in the tour, and that is what he did do in the tour. And he was accompanied by all kinds of people who were along on the tour. Among them are Allen Ginsberg, the very, very great poet. And we see him doing some of his chanting and so forth, which he loved to do. Scarlett Rivera, the violinist who became a part of Dylan's entourage during that time. Very definitely Joan Baez, the magnificent folk singer who was Dylan's girlfriend and fellow singer during a part of that period of his career. Patti Smith shows up. Roger McGuinn from the Byrds shows up. So these are some of the people. Ramblin' Jack Elliott, the folk singer who we discover in the course of the movie, was really the son of a Jewish dentist from Brooklyn. But he was called Ramblin' Jack Elliott, and he was quite a big folk music star, especially back in the 60s. Sam Shepard is around for a little bit of the movie. Of course, Ronnie Hawkins of the band and so forth. Ronnie Blakely, the actor. Anyway, all kinds of people who were members of Dylan's entourage show up at various times in the movie and were part of the tour, came and went. And that is what basically the movie is. It is the story of this tour. However, it is not really a concert film. There's a pretty good amount of music in the film, most of it fragmentary. Every once in a while we get a more or less full performance of some particular number. Most memorably for me, the great song Isis, which Dylan sings at one point just brilliantly. And there are some other things where we get, again, more or less complete performances of. A lot of the music, though, in the movie is very fragmentary. We get, you know, 30 seconds or maybe a minute, and then we cut away to something else. And the movie itself is very fragmentary, and it's always sort of jumping around from one thing to another. Martin Scorsese has a penchant for making. He's made quite a few rock and roll movies. Rock and roll he definitely uses brilliantly in any number of his major films, from Mean Street to Goodfellas and others. But from time to time, he's made full-fledged rock and roll documentaries. He made one about the Rolling Stones, which is very much a concert film, called Shine a Light. He made a Bob Dylan documentary, a very long one some years ago, called No Direction Home. Made a big documentary about George Harrison, Living in the Material World. So he really loves rock and roll, and he has made a number of rock and roll movies. And the only real problem with his earlier Dylan documentary, No Direction Home, is that it just stops at one point. It only deals with Dylan's early career. So now we have a movie that at least deals with a somewhat later phase. It's almost a sequel to No Direction Home that deals with a slightly later period of his career. The 1970s era of the Rolling Thunder Review. Now, as people have already been pointing out about Rolling Thunder Review, the movie, this is not really fully a documentary because it has all kinds of interestingly bogus elements in it. For example, there is a filmmaker who was interviewed on camera a number of times during the film called Stefan Van Dorp. who we are told and who he says photographed with his movie camera large parts of the Rolling Thunder Review tour, and that's where they got a lot of the concert footage that we are seeing in the film. And I thought to myself, well, now why have I never heard of Stefan Van Dorp? What's going on here? Well, this is one of several totally bogus elements in Scorsese's film. Scorsese is playing with us here. The guy who plays Stefan Van Dorp is actually an actor. He's a totally different person, and there was no Stefan Van Dorp. In fact, the concert footage that we're seeing is movie footage that was being shot by Dylan for a movie he eventually made called Ronaldo and Clara, which I am one of the four or five people in the entire world who think is actually kind of an interesting movie. So there are things in Rolling Thunder Review, the Scorsese movie, which are bogus and which are Scorsese just playing with us. Okay, it's a fun movie. It's an enjoyable movie. If you like Dylan, and who doesn't like Dylan, then it's a movie to definitely see. It is, by the way, not only in movie theaters, it is also on Netflix. So it's very, very easy to see online. I enjoyed it very, very much. It's uneven. It has high points and low points. But hey, again, if you're into Dylan, and the whole world has got to be into Dylan, it's a movie not to be missed. And Scorsese is a great filmmaker. And even though this is not one of his great films, he gives us a really rollicking show. So I recommend Rolling Thunder Review, A Bob Dylan Story. And that is my musical story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you very kindly, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films The Souvenir, Wild Rose, and Rolling Thunder Review, A Bob Dylan Story.